Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of Sunday, June 17th. We'll start with some local news. Tuesday evening's stormy weather brought rain, wind, and some good photo ops. A few scattered funnel clouds were reported, including one south of Gifford. However, fortunately, none touched down. No major damage was reported from the day's storms. Jessica Starkey of rural Flatville, out taking photographs, found a shelf cloud. She said it was the slowest ever-changing cloud I've ever photographed. It kept spreading out and just crept along the sky. A shelf cloud bows in the center as the clouds start to reach down. If you were outside, you might have noticed this as well. Rantoul Beauty Supply opens. Eric Gian has opened Rantoul Beauty Supply at 1710 East Grove Avenue in the Rantoul Plaza. Gian, who has also operated a beauty supply store on North Neal Street in Champaign for 10 years, opened his Rantoul store on Friday. The store will offer a variety of discounts for seniors, college students, and others. It offers beauty products ranging from wigs to hair products, lotion, scarves, belts, hats, clothing, and jewelry. Gian said he has products for all ethnic groups. Having hired two employees, Gian said he is taking applications to hire additional workers. Rantoul Beauty Supply is open from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Mondays through Saturdays. The store is closed on Sundays. Work scheduled on I-57 Leverett Road. Lane closures on Interstate 57 near Rantoul will begin Monday, June 18th. The closures are necessary for crews to perform pavement patching. The patching will occur northbound from mile markers 243 to 246, and southbound from mile markers 247 to 248. One lane will remain open in each direction at all times during the work, which is expected to last about 2 weeks. Motorists can expect delays and should allow extra time for trips through this area. To avoid the work area, when feasible, use of alternate routes should be considered. Drivers are urged to pay close attention to changed conditions and signs in the work zones. Splash program for children set. First United Church, Rantoul, will again hold its splash program for children. The program will run from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. for 4 Wednesdays, July 11th, 18th, 25th, and August 1st. Children will have the opportunity to sing, learn Bible stories, paint, eat a lunch, and get as wet as they want to. Registration forms may be picked up at the church office 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Monday through Friday, or any time on Sunday mornings. Splash is for all children entering kindergarten through 6th grade in the fall of 2018. It is an opportunity for parents and caregivers to have a break in the middle of the week in the middle of the summer. The children will have a time while growing in their understanding of God. Contact the church with questions at 217-892-2130. The church is located at 200 South Century Boulevard in Rantoul. U.S. Senator Representative to hold office hours. The office of U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat, Illinois, will host mobile office hours from 10 a.m. noon Thursday, that is 10 a.m. to noon Thursday, June 21st, at Rantoul Public Library. Constituent service representatives will be on site to assist Illinoisans with receiving the Veterans Affairs, Social Security, Medicare, and other federal benefits to which they may be entitled. Reaching as many Illinoisans as possible and talking about their concerns is one of my top priorities, as Senator Duckworth said, and making my team available in every corner of the state will help. Residents can also learn about the federal grant application process, Service Academy nominations, and internship opportunities. Duckworth has 3 offices, in Chicago, Springfield, and Carbondale, with additional offices opening soon in Belleville and Rock Island. An all-female 2018-19 Illinois State Officer Team was elected Thursday at the 90th Annual Illinois State FFA Convention. This marks the first time in the Illinois Association FFA's 90-year history that all major state officers are women. The officers were installed Thursday afternoon to serve the Illinois Association FFA for the next 12 months. She'd rather be farming. Agriculture in Blood of New State FFA President from Fisher. Sophia Horton grew up preferring to drive a tandem grain truck to playing basketball. She would rather be tending hogs and working hard than toiling on the hardwood. She loves basically everything about farming, Father Mark Horton said of his 18-year-old daughter, who was elected Thursday as president of Illinois FFA, an 18,000-member group, at the state convention in Springfield. Mark Horton said his daughter used to play sports, but one day told him, "Dad, you know, I'm just not that good at sports." Instead, she turned more of her focus to FFA and the farm. In summers, you could find Sophia out in the bean field doing something that's not common anymore, pulling weeds and volunteer corn. She raised hogs as one of her FFA projects, cleaned out grain bins, and has even done some field tillage work. Probably her favorite job, though, has been hauling grain to area elevators in the fall. Her father estimates she has driven a tandem truck to 8 different area elevators, a job she started when she got her Class B license at 16. The Hortons farm 2 miles north of Fisher. They moved there in 2002 from Muhammad after they answered a blind newspaper ad for someone to run the farm. "I love it so much on the farm," Sophia said. "That's where my roots are." Horton, who was a high honor student at Fisher, will attend the University of Illinois with a goal to become an ag teacher and an FFA advisor. But her studies will wait a year as she performs her duties as FFA president. She and the other state officers will live in a Springfield hotel next to the FFA headquarters. Horton, who served as Fisher chapter and Section 17 president the past year, said she decided to run for the top spot in the state this year when she made visits to every chapter in the section. "I visited with a lot of freshman Green Hand members. I saw the difference that could be made in their lives," Horton said. Horton heads the first all-female state FFA officer team in the organization's history. Girls were not allowed to be FFA members until 1969. She was one of 10 candidates for president on Thursday. Each candidate spoke to the assembled thousands on hand in Springfield. "It was nerve-wracking for me, not because I was afraid to speak, but this was something I was really attached to. Serving Illinois FFA is something I'm really passionate about," she said. Fisher FFA advisor Jennifer Boberg said Horton wasn't the only one who was holding her breath. Several votes were taken to get the count to 51%. It was first cut from 10 to 7 candidates, then to 4, and finally to 2. "When they came on stage and announced her name, I was up in the air jumping and screaming," Boberg said. "Horton's win means a lot, not only to her and Boberg. It is likely to be a boost for the Fisher chapter. I am hoping that this will kind of put our chapter on the map," Boberg said. "Sometimes there's a little bit of a stigma about FFA around Fisher. Some students not really thinking there's much of a future in agriculture if they're not planning to be a farmer. I'm hoping this will encourage other students to branch out and realize FFA can impact your future and help you gain lots of new skills," Boberg said. The vocational ag program and FFA chapter were restarted at Fisher in 2011. Mark Horton, ironically, was a member of the Fisher School Board that voted to bring the ag program back. Boberg said Sophia Horton's membership leadership ability has always stood out to her. "She's always been kind of the voice of reason within the chapter," Boberg said. "She takes the bull by the horns." Horton is a big believer in FFA. "It's about building relationships, leaders for agriculture, and a culture that fulfills the FFA mission of premier leadership, personal growth, and career success. It is about helping members build their own successes and build their dreams," she said. The Horton family has a history in FFA. Mark and his wife Shauna were both active in FFA in high school, Shauna near Houston, where she won a State of Texas Prepared Speaking Contest, and Mark as a member of Edwards County FFA in Albion. Sophia has come a long way in 4 years. She said yesterday morning on the way to the convention center to give her speech, "Dad, it's hard to believe 3 or 4 years ago as a greenhand, I looked up at those people on stage and thought, those people really have their act together," Mark said. On Thursday, everyone was looking up at her. A village board candidate withdraws from consideration. A candidate to succeed Rich Medlin on the Rantoul Village Board has withdrawn from consideration. Mike Runyon, whose name was scheduled to come before the village board for approval at last Tuesday's monthly meeting, withdrew from consideration the day before. Mayor Chuck Smith said Runyon was concerned that his sitting on the board would give an appearance of conflict of interest because Runyon's wife, Brenda, serves as Village Neighborhood Services Coordinator. Smith, however, said he didn't think Runyon's taking his name out of consideration was necessary. The conflict of interest issues were very easy to take care of, Smith said. Our attorney, Ken Beth, said it wasn't an issue, that he could just abstain from votes involving Runyon's wife's department. He has a right as a citizen, just like anybody else, Smith said. Smith said he will begin interviewing other candidates who have expressed interest in the seat this week. This has been a difficult process, Smith said, of naming a replacement for Medlin, who resigned from the board last month to take another job in Freeport. A growing concern. Condition of properties bothers Village Board. The condition of a loan recipient's properties on the former Chanute Air Force Base won't affect the ability to receive a loan renewal, but several members of the Village Board wish it could. In 2011, Chanute Retirement Joint Venture and Prairie Living, Amerinvest, took out three Federal Economic Development Administration loans administered by the Village, totaling $747,500, for the remodel of Prairie Village Assisted Living Facility. The first loan ballooned in April, and the borrower requested loan renewal. Later, the Village examined combining the three loans to simplify the paperwork. The company has been making its payments on all three loans on time. However, some Village trustees wish they could require Amerinvest to clean up its properties as a condition for the loan money. At issue are the quad dormitories at 101, 105, 107, and 109 Borman Drive, where stairwells need to be fenced in as they are a safety hazard, and the properties are unsafe, vacant structures. The stairwells filled with water that is being pumped out but has been lacking fencing and posted signs. The properties also contain debris that needs removal. Amerinvest Meadowlands properties on Cantonment Avenue and Embassy Row also contain inoperable vehicles and have tall weeds and grass. The water is being pumped, fortunately, Snyder said of the Borman Drive properties, but there are many other things that have not been resolved. Charlie Smith, Village Property Maintenance Inspector, told the press the company has pumped out water from the stairwells and is trying to get the stairwells blocked and the fencing up. He said the Village has approached Amerinvest numerous times over the years about the condition of its property, but the company has not done anything about the trees and bushes growing around its buildings. Snyder said the inspections department is at the point of wanting to elevate this to a formal violation. Trustees asked if reworking the loan could be tied to Amerinvest cleaning up its properties. Snyder said he didn't think that would be a good idea. By using the loan as a lever, I think it would be better to follow through with code enforcement action. Village Comptroller Pat Snyder agreed that the loan reworking can't be tied to the condition of properties. Snyder said one option might be to require the $151,731 balloon payment in one lump sum as leverage, but then you have the question whether the borrower has the ability to pay that right now. If they don't have the ability to pay it, then it could go into default. Trustee Sam Hall said he has raised concerns over the condition of Amerinvest property in the past. What responsibility does a borrower have of maintaining a property, he said. We understand he's paying his bill, but he's not maintaining his property. Turning the issue over to code enforcement can take time for resolution if the property owner does not cooperate. They give some reasonable period of time to make that correction, Village Attorney Ken Beth said. If that owner has not made those corrections in time, they turn it over to us in legal proceedings. Beth said the Village would then typically file a case in court alleging an ordinance violation. The penalty for such violations is $750 a day. Whether it's collectible or not is another issue, Beth said. Trustee Hank Gamble asked that the board consider attaching a proviso on future loan applications requiring that properties be kept in good shape. The board approved the reworking of the loan agreement 4-1, with Hall casting the no vote. The $375,374 loan will be paid back at 4% interest over 6.5 years. Spending authority issue. The board also adopted a proposed ordinance change that switches back the Village's administrator's purchase authority from $25,000 to no more than $15,000 without board approval. Trustee Terry Workman presented the proposed change, saying some on the board were concerned that Economic Development Director Rebecca Motley was rehired to a 3-month contract without board approval or knowledge. Snyder said the contract was needed after the long-term contract had expired because Motley was in the middle of several vital projects. Workman statement. Workman also made a statement regarding the Village Recreation Department, noting it showed an overall positive balance of $58,582 out of a total budget of $1.983 million for the fiscal year 2018. The trustee is upset that the village's central maintenance department was taken out of Recreation Department oversight and put under the Public Works Department. He said central maintenance was $19,943 under budget, with a total budget of $624,884 in fiscal year 2018. If I were looking for a department to reorganize and find ways to save money in their budget, I would not look to that department, Workman said. Workman said central maintenance operations have not run as smoothly since the change. He called the recreation department under Luke Humphrey one of the village's best. Solar project. Resident Chris Powers said he recently moved to town and intends to install a solar array in his backyard. He understands he will be the first one in the community. Powers said he has spoken with Public Works Director Greg Hazel about the issue and asked that it be placed on next month's agenda. He said Hazel had revised the village's solar interconnection net metering policy, and Powers said he will present a counterproposal. Hazel said the two sides disagree on how the credit should occur on the excess generation. In other business, the board also heard from resident Wendell Golston, who said the board needs to work together on spending and other issues. It shouldn't just be absolute power. You are working together. This village is starting to work together, he said. Golston also mentioned the vigil held the previous evening for 17-year-old Donnell Robertson, who died June 10th. Golston said it made a difference to the family to see some village officials at the vigil. Heard from resident Jasmine Boyce, who also commented on Robertson's death of famed running back 88. She encouraged people to attend a bus send-off for those who will be attending services in Chicago. Boyce also announced that the Rantoul Farmers Market will be returning July 18th downtown at the corner of Girard and Congress in the old Wings Theater lot. She said organizers are looking to recruit additional vendors. The board also heard from resident Louise Haynes, who encouraged village officials to be more careful in public places in terms of what kinds of comments they make because they might be overheard. She also encouraged the board to do its homework on issues and asked officials why they can't answer questions posed by the public at board meetings. She said she had been waiting for answers to questions she had posed. The board also heard from resident Deborah Sweat, who asked about the possibility of the village buying water testing kits for residents to use similar to those purchased in some other communities. She said some skepticism remains about the quality of Rantoul's drinking water, despite village tests showing the water is fine. Hazel said he will see what kinds of kits are available. The board approved the purchase and replacement of a condensing unit, an air handler for the village boardroom, and hallway from Duden & Silver, Incorporated Gilman, for $46,081. The board approved a contract with Cross Construction Champaign for roadway improvements along Willow Pond Road for $995,100. The board approved a change order on a roof project at 505 Condit with Filato Construction Incorporated for $117,760. The board approved the establishment of a new enterprise zone for the entire village of Rantoul. The zone is subject to approval by the Illinois Department of Economic Opportunity. The board approved garbage hauling rates increases paid to area disposal. The rate will climb from $14.20 currently to $14.75 on August 1st, $15.30 on August 1st, 2019, and $15.80 on August 1st, 2020. The board approved a general variance that will allow construction of a highway sign in front of Jimmy John's restaurant, West Champaign Avenue. The board approved a grant agreement between the village and the Illinois Housing Development Authority regarding the creation and operation of a land bank. And finally, the board authorized the termination of its agreement for insurance with Illinois Personnel Benefit Cooperative. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week of June 17th. Ethel Wiley Arnold, 80, of Paxton, died at 3:30 p.m. Sunday, June 17th at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center, Urbana. No services will be held. Bayer Family Funeral Services, Paxton, is in charge of arrangements. Memorials may be given to an organization of the donor's choice, and condolences may be offered at bayerfuneralservices.com. Ronald Beck, 80, of Rantoul, died at 8:30 p.m. Wednesday, July 13th, surrounded by family. A celebration of life was held Thursday, June 21st, at Stone Creek Church, Rantoul. Burial followed in Mount Hope Cemetery, Champaign. Donnell Robertson, 17, of Rantoul, died June 10th at his home. There will be a visitation from 3 to 6 p.m. Friday, June 22nd, at J.W. Eater, Jr., Rantoul. A funeral service will follow at 6 p.m. Visitation will also be held from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Saturday at Freedom Baptist Church, 4541 Harrison Street, Hillside, with burial immediately following in Oak Ridge Cemetery, Hillside. Lux Memorial Chapel, Rantoul, is in charge of arrangements. Willis J. Sommer, 87, of Gibson City, father and brother of Foosland residents, died at 11:05 p.m. Saturday, June 16th, at Gibson Area Hospital Annex. A memorial service was held Wednesday, June 20th, at Gibson City Bible Church. A private family burial followed in Drummer Township Cemetery, Gibson City. Lamb Funeral Home, Gibson City, is in charge of arrangements. Memorial tributes may be made to his church or to Gibson Area Hospital Annex. This concludes the reading of the death notices. We'll return now to local news. Auditor, county working toward nursing home sale. Closing on the sale of the Champaign County Nursing Home will likely happen in late July, County Auditor Diane Michaels said. Michaels said there is a great deal for her office to do before and after the closing. Once the closing is complete, the process of paying off all of those owed money begins. Michaels of Rantoul told the Rantoul Exchange Club last week that her office is in the process of due diligence, which is the list of items we must prepare for the potential buyers who are asking for different contracts and financial statements. Sale price $11 million. The county board last month voted to accept the $11 million offer from Extended Care Clinical LLC and Altitude Health Services, Inc., both headquartered in Evanston, to buy the nursing home. Yes, the offer has been accepted, but that doesn't mean that the process is finished or that it has been consummated, if you will, on the other end, Michaels said. While the $11 million might not pay all those who are owed money initially, eventually everyone will be paid, the auditor said. Voters in April 2017 gave the county board authority to sell the nursing home by a margin of 54% to 46%. The sale, however, was delayed over differences on the county board. Many Democrats fought the idea. On June 9th, the board approved seeking proposals from interested buyers. First to be paid are the vendors. Next will be the bonds. The county took out two bonds, one for construction of the nursing home and another for mold remediation. Last on the list is the money the county has taken out of its general fund to pay nursing home bills, Michaels said. She said the decision to close the nursing home was not an easy one, but she believes it was the right thing to do because its persistent red ink was dragging down county operations as a whole. Focus on needed services. The county will be able to turn its attention to other needed services. There are mandated services that are lacking, the auditor said. There is a big need for mental health issues to be addressed. The juvenile justice system, it's important to help them. Those are items that will be looked at again. Asked if property tax bills will decline with the nursing home closure, Michael said not initially. A lot of that will be used to pay off the bonds, Michael said, noting that the rate will remain the same for a few years. Just like when you sell a business, there are always loose ends. The county, however, will no longer have to issue tax anticipation warrants once the bills are paid. It's been happening for years. They were used for Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, Social Security and Workman's Comp, which is part of nursing home payroll, which is running $235,000 to $240,000 every 2 weeks, Michael said. The latest nursing home census is at 141 residents. Of that number, 111 are on Medicaid. Michael said the county has been paying Blue Cross Blue Shield's premiums for nursing home residents at the rate of about $56,000 a month. Auditor's office duties. Turning to various duties the auditor's office performs, a primary one is accounts payable, checking invoices and contracts to ensure everything is up to date. The office also mails out checks to juries. Michael said the office works with many other departments. One of the larger ones is the Regional Planning Commission, which has numerous special accounts for grants. There are also accounts with the Sheriff's Department and the Clerk of the Court. With a public entity, the accounting system is different than when you're in your own business, Michael said. I liken it to we're used to writing a check and taking it out of the checkbook. Well, with government, you write the check, put it in this fund, take it out of that fund, and let it touch the next one. Then you put it in another fund so they get to touch it and put it in the other one. There are about half a dozen different entries that you have to show. Everybody has to approve it along the way. The auditor's office also audits all bills coming in, contracts for grants or other items, and audits vendor contracts. Michael said the auditor's office received the outstanding report in finance and accounting skills. It shows that we are staying on top of things, she said. Michael's encouraged residents seeking county information to visit the county's website, which has information for every department from the auditor's office to the circuit clerks. Anything that has to do with the county and the public's funds, those things have to be open because it's the public's money, Michael said. Michael's, a longtime Rantoul banker, who was a member of the county board for 8 years, was named by the county board to replace John Farney as a county auditor in December. A Republican, Michaels will run against Democrat George Danos for a 2-year unexpired term as auditor in the November 6th election. And finally, a column by Heidi Fogel. Shelter did not fare well with the recent storms. Hope your home was not deluged and you stayed dry during the recent downpours. Society for Hooved Animal Rescue and Emergency Shelter did not fare so well. Some stalls flooded, but we managed to find dry ones to keep all comfortable. Today it is cleanup day, June 11th, and hopefully the rains give us a break and a chance to dry out. We have a couple of donkeys who think they must be fed every time someone walks by. They can be very vocal and demanding. You can hear them all the way down the road. At Share, everything is about horses, always has been, always will be. To see their well-being, we need to make sure we have the needed volunteers, and we do occasionally ask for donations. All About the Horse is such an event, scheduled from noon to 4 p.m. Sunday, July 8th, free to the public. You might get charged for a hot dog, though. This gives Share the opportunity to present our horses. Pasture Pets, 4 adoptable, being Ben Shalom, Jim Dandy, Hope, and Robin. Rideable horses, we have 5. Winnie needs training. Morning Star, Cinco needs training, Ellie Mae, experienced rider, and Atari. Sanctuary horses never leave home. Medical issues and donations are so needed for them. They include Sugarfoot, Mountain Dew, Daisy, and Julie, who are blind. Atari is a registered Egyptian Arab, about 12 years old, who stands 15 hands. He has been shown in dressages. Makes the animal look classy. His adoption fee is $1,000. Come to Share. It's all about the horse. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press.